My friends, you will never regret serving the Lord. You will never regret being faithful. Title of this morning's message, How to Be Found Faithful. How to Be Found Faithful, and of course, I'm really encouraged by my late pastor's, one of his favorite verses. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He was a big time on this. He would quote it all the time in his sermons. But 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and then verse 2. Oh, by the way, speaking about old photos, they even had this. I haven't seen this for years. You probably can't see it, but these were photos of my baptism. This was 25 years ago when I got saved, before I got baptized. Baptism just shows that I've been born again. You're saved, of course, not by baptism, but by believing in Jesus Christ. And so, in fact, Kyla, why don't you kind of set it on the foyer if you guys want to take a look at this. And so I got, here, I'll pass this. Come on up. I'll pass this to you so I don't forget. But this was a real blessing, moved me to tears. But that was Pastor Hallett Sr. baptizing me back shortly after July 1st, 2001 was when I got saved. A few weeks later, I forget, I got baptized. But praise God for that. But this morning's message, How to Be Found Faithful, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And by the way, when you look at those photos, don't say who's that. That's my hair was a little bit darker back then. But everything else is the same, right? And so 1 Corinthians 4. Let's go to verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and then verse 2, and then stand with me if you're able for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 4, stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, verse 2, and then we'll ask the Lord to bless the message. 1 Corinthians 4, 2, the Word of God says, Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy in my life. I certainly don't deserve it. Thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us, me, from all sin. Thank you, Father, that you are faithful and just to forgive me my sins if I, you know, confess my sins to you, Lord. And, Lord, I hang on to that verse, Lord. Many times I feel like Peter of old, Lord, whether I've denied you thrice, Lord, or David, Lord, and that your mercy is so good to me. I pray, Father, you use me for your glory in spite of myself. Anoint these lips of clay. Speak to hearts, Father. Meet us where we are at. Holy Spirit of God, have free reign. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you, friends. Maybe seated. Often ask myself, do I want to be found faithful? Do you want to be found faithful? Who wants to be found faithful, right? The idea of being found faithful here means you are found out. But in a good way, okay? And so if God will to bust you, will he bust you being faithful, right? As opposed to being unfaithful, as opposed to be doing something that we shouldn't. The idea of being found faithful, found out to be faithful, to be candid, it's an unscheduled, it's a surprise inspection, right? Sometimes, like if you get a visitor who knocks at your door, and maybe there's some family drama going on, and oh, this is not a good time. And so is there not a good time? In our life, hopefully not. And so the idea is, no matter when, any time God looks upon us, any temptation we encounter, we are faithful. Any hardship we come up against, we are faithful. Any heartbreak that we endure, we're faithful. May we be found faithful. And so this was, again, it was such an encouragement to me. Pastor Hallett, he's gone home to glory now. Boy, when did he pass away? 2005, I think. 2005. And so I only knew him for just a handful of years, but I appreciate his character. And he preached a message one time when he was in Bible college, and the guest speaker or the preacher preached about Gideon's 300. And I remember Pastor Hallett Sr., he got down on his knees and says, Lord, please help me to be one of Gideon's 300, not the 42,000 or whatever. Lord, help me. I want to be ready to serve you. I want to be found faithful. And so, number one, now the message is how to be found faithful again, but to precede that, the assumption is that we want to be found faithful, right? Right? Who wants to be found faithful? Hopefully we all raise our hands. We want to be found faithful. We're right there. But God doesn't just tell us what to do it. He tells us how to do it. So how to be found faithful? Maybe do desire sincerely to be found faithful. So how do we do this? Moreover, it is so above all things, it is required. That's a requirement, non-negotiable. In stewards, and so this is a requirement that a man be found faithful. This is a must-have. There's no other way to please God. How does God praise his servants? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And yes, in this case, the servant is called a steward, which is still a servant, but a steward is specifically describes a caretaker of our Lord's goods. The steward does not own any of his Lord's goods, but the steward has been entrusted with it, to oversee it, to multiply it, to grow it, to invest it, okay? Not to hoard it, not to hide it. And so if you remember the parable of the pounds, right? Jesus gives the parable of the pounds. The first servant, you know, multiplied a 1 pound to how many? Anyone? 10, yeah, that's right, 10. And the second servant, 1 pound to what? 5, right? And so multiplying it. Remember the parable of the talents, right? You have the first servant, the 5 talents become what? 10 talents. Second servant, you have the 2 talents become 4 talents. Okay, and so this is what God desires for us to have his goods. We invest it, we disperse it, we multiply it, we don't hide it, we don't hoard it. And so the most important requirement of a steward to please God is what? Faithfulness. Nothing else matters if the steward is not faithful. Our smarts, our skills, our talents, our looks, nothing of it matters if we are not faithful. It's like a spouse, right? What's the most important requirement of a spouse? Faithfulness. Sometimes we take it for granted. We don't want to do that. But it's not the spouse's, it's not the husband's paycheck that matters. It's not the husband's skills as a handyman. It's not how much the husband can bench press, thankfully. It is the husband's faithfulness. Because none of it matters, no matter how awesome the husband is, if he cheats on his wife. He's good for nothing. The marriage, there's no marriage. I mean, the marriage is torn apart. I mean, just because of infidelity. Faithfulness matters. The blessing of living a faithful life for Jesus Christ, guess what, would last forever. Forever. Faithfulness is a big, big deal. Don't ever take it for granted. Always seek to pursue it. And I get it, to a certain degree, if we are found faithful, it's not for us to pat ourselves on the back, and it would be despite our shortcomings. Amen? I get that. It's always by God's grace. Now, God gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us his word, the sword of the Spirit, which, of course, has spiritual principles that if, big if, we do them, it will enable us to be found faithful. But we must trust and obey. We must be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And so it's always by God's grace, but through faith. And faith is exemplified through obedience. And so what does the scripture, what are the principles that scripture teaches us that we can be found faithful? Because we want to be found faithful, right? We want to be found faithful. I want to be found faithful. Number one, we must choose to be faithful. We must choose to be faithful every day. And this is almost, it's really implied in the commandments to be faithful, but the idea is faithfulness is a choice. Yes, it's by God's grace. I get it. But God, according as his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's 2 Peter 1:3. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You want to live a godly life? You can. Because he's given us all things. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has given you and me, us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness? Do you believe it? Yes. So what this means is balls in our court. Stuff is, you know, what God has given us, we have it. If we're not using it, that's on us. It's not that God didn't give us, it's that we're not using it. We have all that we need to be found faithful right here. But we have to be doers of the word, not just hearers only, not just deceiving ourselves. Ever notice that the verses in the Bible that talk about faithfulness, choice is implied, right? Like in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. The implication is that we have a choice to do that. For he is faithful that promised. We have no reason not to, but we have to choose to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 15:58, this is one of my life verses. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Choice is implied. Do it. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the what? Crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This crown of life, it's the crown that testifies to a victorious, spirit-filled Christian life. It's not everlasting life. We get that by believing in Jesus Christ. You're saved, you have eternal life. Hallelujah. This crown of life is like a reward or a trophy for living a life that glorifies God. Not living a life that keep falling into the lust of my flesh, okay? A victorious Christian life. So who wants this crown of life? Amen, I do. Choose to be faithful. Remember Joshua of old? Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Faithfulness is a choice. Don't just be passive. Don't just be absent and not vote for it, okay? Choose to be faithful. Choosing to be faithful is not a one-and-done choice. It is a daily choice. Like the Lord's Prayer, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Now, we do it all the time, repetitively. I mean, because every day we need the Lord. But the context is a daily commitment. Lamentations 3:23, God's compassion is, he describes his compassion as new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So God's faithfulness is described from a daily basis, as a continual daily thing. That's how God describes faithfulness. And so our choice, faithfulness is a choice. But it's not just a one time I choose to be faithful and then I don't think, no. Every day we wake up, Lord, I want to be faithful. We must choose to be faithful. Number two, we must commit to be faithful. Now, what's the difference between choosing and committing? Well, if you go to verse 2 with me, that's kind of the context of verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, commitment, now they're both important. We need to choose to be faithful every day, but we also have to commit to be faithful to the Lord for the long term. And commitment measures the depth of our faithfulness, like our devotion. And so choosing to be faithful every day speaks more to our direction that we're going, whether we're going the way the Lord wants us to go. And here's the aha moment for us. It is very possible for us to be to choose to be faithful, but not very committed. That can happen. For example, I might have perfect attendance at work. Never missed a day. You know, I get that, I don't know, 500 Fleet Farm voucher at the end of the year. I mean, I never missed a day. I might be completely faithful in my work attendance. But will I die for my company? No. Why? I'm not very committed to them. You know, I'm faithful to show up, but commitment measures the depth of our devotion. Commitment has cost. There's cost associated with commitment. Who likes bacon and eggs? I'm a big bacon and egg guy. Go well together. Over medium guy, let it run over the bacon. Oh, I'm just saying, I'm a bacon and eggs guy. But you ever heard that? How that the chicken was involved, but the pig was committed, right? And so the idea is, am I too chicken to be committed to the Lord? Not just kind of contribute, and I can contribute faithfully. I'm not putting one down over the other. We need both. We have to choose every day to be faithful. But don't forget about commitment, because commitment measures our devotion. Not just living for the Lord. We live for the Lord faithfully every day. But the level of commitment should be that we are willing to die for the Lord, if it's his will. So we live for the Lord, but it runs all the way deep. If you go to Proverbs 16 with me, Proverbs 16, and then verse 3, we know this verse, but Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, and this tugs at my heart because I can attest to you, like anyone else, I had my own dreams, my own plans, my own goals. I wanted to be a pediatrician. Growing up, loved kids. Thought I could be a pretty good kid doctor. And so I wanted to do that. But God had other plans. But if you go to Proverbs 16, verse 3 with me, commit thy works unto the Lord. That's the word, commit, for commitment, right? We must commit to be faithful. The works here is not just what I do. It is what I want to do with my life. So it's not just tying my shoe or changing a spare tire. Okay, when it says works here, this is every work that defines you, your life's resume. At the end of your life, when you have a resume, it says, oh, so many years did this and did that. I mean, your life's work, your life's ambition, your life's dreams, your goals, commit those works unto the Lord. Commit here in the sense of making a deposit. You go to God and just like making a deposit, you kind of deposit, just dump it there and let that's it. God has it. So your life, you commit to God, all the works of your life. When you do that, what does God do in return? And thy thoughts shall be established. God will in turn establish our thoughts, meaning our goals, our plans, our actions, everything that we yield to Him, our works of life. You know how they, certain celebrities or different, you know, artists, they might publish, you know, the life works of Ansel Adams, you know, the black and white photographer, whatever. I mean, and so when you have the life works of you, all those works, you commit it to the Lord. You empty it out, give it to the Lord. Guess what? What God will establish, God will build, God will erect in your thoughts, your heart, what He wants you to do. By God's grace, here I am. It's by the grace of God. Commit your works. A lot of us are holding on to our own works. And God's, you know, He wants to build it back, okay? A broken and contrite heart. And God loves to build mosaics, but we have to come to Him with a broken heart. Not my dreams, not my will, not my desire, not my plans. Yours, Lord. Yours. And can I share with you? God's plan is way better than mine. Way better. I wanted, I don't know, 2 kids most. Be a kid doctor. Take lots of vacations. Now, that's still kind of tempting. Okay, I'm just saying, I can't imagine my life with just my 2 daughters. I'm so glad God gave us who He gave us. Praise God. God, I didn't even know any better. I did not know better. I just obeyed. Now, looking back, I'm like, oh, praise the Lord, I obeyed. And that's the joy when we get to glory. When we stand in at the judgment seat of Christ, my friend, that is faith, because faith is not out there, faith is in here. Even if it doesn't make sense, just obey the word of God, because when it makes sense, by the time it makes sense, it'd be too late to go back and do it in retro. So when it makes sense, at the judgment, be like, oh, I didn't understand then, but thank the Lord, I live for the Lord. Whoo, praise God. That's faith. Amen. So commit thy works to the Lord. He will establish our thoughts. It goes hand in hand with presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. And then we will be renewed in our mind. God does the renewing, the regenerating. The old way I used to think, surrender it to God. God says, this is how you should think. This is what you should pursue. This is what your work should be. And He establishes our hearts, our thoughts. What a blessing. By the way, one of the first steps of commitment that we can give to the Lord, get baptized. One of the first steps or acts of commitment that we can do for the Lord, get baptized. Goes hand in hand with joining a church. It's kind of like getting married versus dating. I don't know if someone said it, maybe I'm saying it, but it's kind of like getting married versus dating. You know, if the boyfriend, it's good for the boyfriend to be faithful to the girlfriend. That's wonderful. Praise God. But if the boyfriend really, really, really is into his girlfriend, guess what? He'll want to marry her. Being faithful is good. That's a daily choice to be faithful. But commitment measures the depth of our devotion. Give your time, your energy, your finances. If I commit my time, think of it this way. If I commit my time and energy to witnessing to people, I'm going to be more vested in praying for souls to be saved, because that's where I put my time and energy in. Okay? How about this? If I give half my paycheck towards the school bus, I mean the church bus. If I give half my paycheck towards, and I'm just using examples just to get the point. If I give half my paycheck towards the church bus, I'm going to be more vested in praying that the bus fills up. I'm just saying, that's because I've committed to it. I've given to it. And that's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Commit to the Lord. Choose to be faithful. Commit to be faithful. And then point number 3, we must claim accountability to be faithful. We must claim accountability to be faithful. If you go back with me to 1 Corinthians 4, and then back up to verse 1, actually. 1 Corinthians 4, 1. Accountability, or claim accountability to be faithful. Understand it, desire it, seek it. The Apostle Paul did not shy away from accountability. 1 Corinthians 4, let's go to verse 1. Notice what it says here. Let a man so account for us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, this is a wonderful verse. We all need accountability. Now, it's not as though Paul cared what others thought of him. The only one who judges him is God. It's verse 3 and 4. But if Paul was a faithful minister and steward for Christ, people would see it. Now, we can't see faith, but we can see faithfulness. We can't see faith, but we can see faithlessness. We can see both, faithfulness or faithlessness. When God says here, when Paul says, let a man so account for us, that phrase account for us, it is essentially how others think of us. It is a formal, if you want to think of it as an accounting term, for the record, how someone would think of us, how the dictionary would describe us, a documented fact, like making a journal entry. Okay, like saying, grain, 50 pounds, wheat, 20 pounds, or gas, $4, just some type of reckoning, some type of accounting, okay? And so the idea is, Paul, minister of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. That's to be accounted for. That's what Paul is saying. Let a man so account of us. So this is how people should take note of us. This is how people should recognize us. If someone was going to put you into their journal entry, this is how Paul wants them to say, oh, today I ran into this man, Paul. He's a minister of Christ, a steward of the mysteries of God. This is what he wants to be accounted for. Okay? That's huge. Paul says us. Now, he's already there. Of course, he wants the Corinthians to be there too. And we should be there too. And ministers of Christ, that's a servant, that's an attendant, waiting on Christ. We don't serve ourselves. We don't serve even men. We're not men pleasers. We please God. Now, we minister to people, okay, but we serve the Lord, ministers of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, again, a steward doesn't own his own goods, but he's been entrusted with the Lord's goods. And so what have we been entrusted with as a steward? The mysteries of God. Now, these mysteries are the mysteries of the gospel. The mysteries that were hidden before the world began, God knew it. But now, in real time, New Testament is revealed by God to the apostles. And we have it here. That's our word of God, a complete canon of the scriptures. We have it right here. For example, Christ in Gentile believers. Who knew? God knew. But it's a mystery that God is telling through Paul to the Gentile believers, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs with Jewish believers. This was a mystery. Now, mystery is, again, meaning it's something that God hid, but now it's now revealing. The idea is that it is not the best kept secret and stays a secret. The idea is it only remains a mystery if we don't tell it. And the idea, if once you tell it, then it becomes a wonderful fact, a wonderful truth. Okay, so it's a mystery that needs to be revealed. God is revealing it to the apostles, to them, to us. We need to do it to others. And so this, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. The Gentile believers are just as much a child of God as the Jewish believers. The church, this is another mystery, is the bride of Christ, right? That's Ephesians chapter 5, and I know we use that as a marriage counseling passage, which is good. It's got marriage principles. But the whole point of Ephesians 5 is to show that just as everyone and their brother knows husband and wife are one flesh, Paul is referencing what people know to show the mystery that the church is the bride of Christ. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. The rapture. That's a mystery. Before I got saved, I never heard about a rapture. That we're going to be changed. The twinkling of an eye. I never knew that. That's a wonderful truth. And the mystery remains a mystery when we aren't faithful in telling others. We are stewards of these mysteries. To be a good steward, we've got to what? Proclaim it. To be a good steward, we've got to what? Share it. Don't hide it. Don't hoard it. Always share the word of God. It will not return void. Amen. It will accomplish its purpose. Even though God alone is our judge, God 100% uses other people to help us be held accountable. Okay? Even way back in Adam, in Genesis 2, God said it is not good that the man should be alone. God knew that. And that's why God gives us our families. Praise the Lord. Now, here's the thought. As Paul says, let a man so account for us as of the ministers of Christ. So he wants other people to think of him as a minister of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Let me ask you this, friends. How do your friends and family account of you? How would they describe you? Oh, he's a Packers fan. What a blessing if someone would say, oh, he's a minister of Christ. Maybe they won't say stewards of the... okay, mysteries of God, a little wordy. Okay, but you get the idea. But what a thought here. What does my family think of me? Do they think I'm a minister of Christ? I'm a minister of Christ. If I was a minister of Christ, I would serve them as Christ serves. If I was a steward of the mysteries of God, I would tell my family the mysteries of God. What about our church family? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's go to verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's go to verse 12. God gives us our family, our church family, to help us hold ourselves accountable to each other, ultimately to God. It's not good for man that the man would be alone. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, that's plural, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Don't get discouraged. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't fall away. So instead of doing that, verse 13, but exhort one another daily. This goes hand in hand with Hebrews 10:25, okay? But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhorting one another, my friends, keeps us accountable to each other. It's a wonderful thing. This is what God has planned intentionally. It's not good for you and I to be an island. Like, hey, brother, missed you at church. How you doing? I need that. We need that. Here's something else. If you want to be really, really accountable, or if you want to be really, really held accountable by others, claim a ministry. Do a ministry. Doesn't matter what ministry, but do something. For example, if I say, oh, I'll pick up Mrs. Smith for church on Sunday, I'm helping, okay? Now, all of a sudden, I'm on the hook, okay? Because if she's not there, it's because I dropped the ball, okay? I'm just saying, all of a sudden, my faithfulness matters a whole lot more. I appreciate the Reese's doing the bread ministry. If I show up to church and there's no bread, I'm like, where's my cookie? I'm just saying. It's when we claim a ministry, when we put our name down, it makes us more accountable. I remember my pastor, in his wisdom, shortly I got saved, I didn't even know, how does it go? I didn't even know job from palms, okay? But I was newly saved, and he asked me to teach, because I was in my early, mid-20s. He asked me to teach the fourth and fifth graders Sunday school. I said, sure, I'll do that. Saturday night, I was jamming the scriptures. I had no idea, like, Philemon, is that a city? Is that a guy? I don't know. I'm just saying, but it made me accountable, because when I taught the class, one thing that kids can do, they can smell fear, okay? And so for me to not be fearful, I needed to be semi-competent. And so I would study the lesson, I would pray, I'd be on my knees, and fake it till you make it. No, I'm just saying, when I was with those kids, it was a blessing. But God grew me through that, and it held me accountable, because if I could not make it to church, it was on me to find a replacement, right? Don't just not show up, right? And so all of a sudden, my faithfulness, there were things that rid on it, because can I share with you, my friends, I would sooner let myself down than let you down. That's just how I tend to be hardwired. I make my own bed, I'll sleep in it, okay? But if I don't want to make someone else's bed and have them sleep. You know, and so if someone was counting on me, God used that to hold me accountable. If you really want to put your accountability on the line and be held more accountable, do something. Doesn't matter what, you could, there's this one garbage basket. You're the guy that cleans it every Sunday. So that if it's not clean, it's because you didn't do it. I'm just saying, do something for the Lord. Do as much as you can for the Lord. And so Pastor Hallett had me teach the fourth and fifth graders. Then later on, he had me serve as youth leader. Then we helped on the bus and the van routes. And then was junior church. And then it was jail ministry. It was a tremendous training ground for me at the Eau Claire County Jail. And then as a song leader, how about that? If I didn't make it to church, people knew. Because I was the guy that said, hi, welcome to Birch. I mean, I was the face of the church. Okay, I'm just saying, when we do these ministries, you know how I felt? It's by God's grace, but this is how I felt. And this, I believe, how God wants us all to be aware of this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And it's not a pride thing, it's a truth thing. Ephesians chapter 4. Go to verse 16 here with me. Ephesians 4. Let's go to verse 16. Now, this is how the church is, okay, the body of Christ. Praise the Lord, and the Word of God says, from whom the whole, this is through Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. In other words, I felt that I was being supported by my brothers and sisters in Christ while I was supporting them. According, like a human pyramid, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Like all the gears running together, I felt supported by my brethren at church, but I also felt that I was supporting them. And everyone had a place. It's like the parts of a engine. If you just take the transmission out, ain't going to work. You can take the spark plugs out, ain't going to work. And everyone had to be there. And so if you really, really want to up your accountability, claim a ministry. Do something where your presence matters. You know what I'm saying? Where it's not just show up, don't show up. You know, again, it's not a pride thing, but it's a commitment thing, okay? Choose to be faithful every day to be found faithful. Commit to the Lord to be found faithful. Claim accountability to be faithful. Praise the Lord. Being held accountable by others prepares us to be judged individually by God. At the end of the day, it's not a double speak. God is the one that ultimately judges us. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 4. I want us to see how Paul says it here. The Word of God says it here. 1 Corinthians 4. So again, in verse 1, Paul's desire is for others to account. Again, not like he cares what people think, but if he's truly a servant of Christ, it would be noticeable. People would know it. So let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, so above all else that we do as a steward, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Notice how God in verse 2 shifts from plural to singular. It is the first half of verse 2 is a universal principle. Moreover, it is required in stewards, plural, that what? A man, so individually, be found faithful. And you and I will stand before God, not collectively as a church, but individually as Christians. God's not going to average out. Like, remember the parable of the pounds and the talents? Yeah, the one, they all each, 10 servants, each got a pound. One made it 10, one made it 5, and then the last guy, one, stayed one. He just buried it, okay? And so all together, they have what? 5, 10, 1, 16 pounds. God is not going to take the 16 divided by 3, all right? You each got 4, you each got 5 and 1/3 pound. No, 10, 5, 1. That's it. So our judgment, our assessment by God on our faithfulness is on an individual basis. And that's what Paul is saying in verse 3. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of any, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. And so Paul doesn't even dare to think, hey, I think I'm doing a good job. No, he doesn't even want to go there. For I know nothing by myself. And so he knows his bias, so he doesn't even want to give himself a pat on the back. Yet am I not hereby justified. That doesn't mean squat to Paul. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. The Lord. But going hand in hand with this, God certainly uses others to help hold us accountable to him. And then verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, things that you do that no one else does or notices, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, our motives. And it's going to be a shocker of a time when people's motives are revealed, and then shall every man have praise of God. I mean, God is going to be the righteous, true judgment. It's not going to be any bias. He's going to judge it the way it truly is. All we can do is praise God. And therefore, verse 6, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure, so it's observable, transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. In other words, Paul is truly, along with Apollos, a minister of Christ, a steward of the mysteries of God. He is what he's preaching here. That ye might learn, you Corinthians, might learn in us, Apollos and Paul, not to think of men above that which is written. So Paul is saying, I'm not Superman. I'm not awesome Paul. I'm just a steward, a minister, servant of Christ. That's all I am. Don't think of me up there. I'm not. But don't think of any one of ourselves as up there. We're not. That which is written, that no man, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Because we know the Corinthian church, they were all about that. Okay, they were all beating their chest, like, hey, I'm the most spiritual. And Paul, guys, no. May we be found faithful. We have to choose every day to be faithful. We have to commit to be found faithful. We have to claim accountability to be faithful. God gets the glory. Challenges will come. Stay faithful. Changes will happen. Stay faithful. Remember who we are. Merely ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a thought to be in thy house, Lord. Help me. Help us to be found faithful, Lord. And help us to fight the good fight, to finish our course and run our race. Help us, Lord, to choose every day to be faithful to you, and then to commit our works to you, Lord, that you will establish our thoughts. Help us to be committed for the cause of Christ, devoted, Lord, and not just skimming the surface, Lord, and help us to be accountable to each other so that we can ultimately be accountable to you, Lord. Help us to step up and step out, Lord, and to do things by faith and obedience. Father, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed, just a piano.